Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Hello, and thank you all for being here. Greetings from the Big O, Omaha. Here in the middle of the country where nobody told the weather it's spring yet. But we're waiting. Some of you saw I post on Facebook the other day that I sprung my convertible from storage. I put it in November 1st and take it out April 1st. And we happened to have the day off on Monday, so we went to get it. And I drove it home in a snowstorm where I parked it on the side of the garage. And it's stuck in a snowdrift right now. So can't wait till that spring weather gets here, by golly. My car's probably going to slide down the side hill into the neighbor's yard. Anyway, thanks so much for being here at the show tonight. I'm going to take care of a little housekeeping up front, and then I'm really excited about our guest tonight. First of all, for those of you listening, if you have a question or want to listen to the show, the number is 424-243-9540. Probably won't be taking questions until we've been into the interview for a little while, and I'll repeat that number then. We're also very excited that we've just launched, you know, the subject of peer-to-peer support has been a huge gap around the country. Some places are fortunate enough to have active support groups. But unfortunately, since I've been involved in the station and meeting more survivors over the last 6 months and meeting my first last year after 17 years, I found out that there are some gaping gaps when it comes from getting fixed at the hospital and getting put back out into the universe to live your life. And you don't know in the beginning whether you're on foot or horseback. Things are a little confusing. The brains are a little scrambled. But a lot of us, because we can walk and talk, are summarily dismissed. And in my case, when I complained about the memory problems and the sensory overload and some of the other residuals that we talk about here on the shows, I was told that they would resolve in time and eventually. I was referred to what I not so affectionately call the shrink boneyard, where a lot of us wind up to discuss these things. And come to find out, there's thousands of us across the country that have experienced the exact same thing. And so I've been really pleased and honored. Brain Injury Radio was started by Craig Cecilia a couple and a half years ago. It was just on Monday nights. And it was an hour show. From there, he built the time up and the following up. And as the word got out, more and more people who were experiencing this void were tuning in. And I think about bad with time and memory, but let's say I was going to say 4 months, then I was going to say 6 months. So let's split the difference, maybe about, 5 months ago or so. We were fortunate enough to get a couple of sponsors. Craig is taking care of some of it, and Gordon Johnson of TBI Law sponsors our show, and we were able to expand it to 7 nights a week. So Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, same number, same time, same place, different host. Each host has a different skill set that they bring to the table, a different style, so there's a little something for everyone. And after the shows are aired live, like this one right now, they immediately go into archive and are available on demand. So any new survivors out there or caregivers out there that are listening tonight, there are programs that you can have access to 24/7 if you want. The live programs at this time, or going back in, leafing through the on-demand topics. And the shows are titled with program notes, and you can listen to these programs anytime that you want, and you never need to feel isolated again. You'll know that there's other people out there who have experienced the same or similar things as to what you're going through. I myself didn't have that benefit for 17 years, and so I was doing recovery in a vacuum and thought I belonged in the shrink boneyard, which is not completely inaccurate, but it's not the whole truth, as they say. So next, after 7 nights a week of Brain Injury Radio, the latest thing just launched in the last couple of days that we're really excited about is the Brain Injury Peer Support Line. And that number, and one of you in the chat can post it, or I'll post it in a little while, but that number is 855-473-3711. And the way that they do that in spelling is 855, the number 4, P as in Paul, E-E-R-1-1. And we're going to have survivors talking to survivors on this peer support line. And we're going to be doing it 24/7. We're looking for some more team leaders. What it would require is 4 hours a month of your time. And I tell you, if it's half as rewarding as working on the radio station has been for me, then it's well worth your 4 hours to help bring along some new survivors, existing survivors, caregivers who just need to talk to another survivor because perhaps they don't have a live support group in their area. There is a website to look at it, but the one I'd encourage you to look at, I guess, and I'll tell you why in a minute, is TBIWA.com. That's Washington's traumatic brain injury site. And the reason I'm referring you to that one is because there is a link there to take you to Brain Injury Radio to tell you about that. There's also a link there to tell you about the peer support line. And so they have some great stuff on that site in regard to recovery. The peer support line does have its own link, but again, for now, I would refer you to tbiwa.com, where you'll find information on the radio site, the peer group support line, and lots of other recovery-related stuff. So, I think I've taken care of most of the housekeeping. So, let's see. A lifelong entrepreneur, Anne Strong, sees the specific greatness of each person in front of her. Since 1989, she has inspired and coached small business owners courageously grow thriving businesses from the specificity of their own strengths and passions. She's the author of the book, Thriving Work, A Journey to Your Best Self. She lives and works by this quote from Albert Einstein: "Everyone is a genius, but if you judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it's stupid." Whether you're in a business of self-employment, or the business of being yourself, or redefining your new self, we all have strengths. and will help us discover our own strengths and guide us to using them effectively. And her website is Anne Strong, that's A-N-N-S-T-R-O-N-G, AnneStrong.com. Her book that I've had the opportunity to look at, just about finished with it, is a really inspiring book. It's called Thriving Work. Whether we're just starting our business or taking it to the next level, our human nature tends to cause us to doubt or second guess ourselves. The most potent remedy is counterintuitive. Instead of striving for perfection, committing to imperfect vulnerability, expression and aliveness naturally evokes radiant clarity and confidence. Coaches, consultants, healers, and any other self-employed personal and business service professionals will find Thriving Work serves as both partner and daily practice in walking our talk. Thriving Work allows us to live out our commitment to our own transformation as we partner with our clients in their transformations. And this transformation does not limit itself to business. Thriving Work calls forth not only our best work, but also our most meaningful, fulfilling, and happy life. That's what the back of her book says. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick little anecdote, and then I'm going to bring Anne on. And hopefully some of you, I posted last week the strengths training test. It was $9.99 for 30 minutes, and you were able to find out your top five strengths and participate a little more in the show tonight. Otherwise, you'll get to hear us talk tonight, and I will get a reminder from Anne or check on my program notes where you can go back after the program to find out a little bit more if this piques your interest. Now, some of you know that for 25 years, I was a financial consultant. That was my lifelong career from the time that I got out of college. And I had occasion to take the StrengthsFinder test twice. Once prior to my brain injury, and the second time after my brain injury. And one of the premises, and then before I dig myself too deep of a hole, I'm going to let Anne on. One of the premises is that if you take this test, there's a list of something like, and she'll clear me on this, something like 36 or so different adjectives or strengths that describe strengths. And this test will tell you what your top five strengths are. And they claim, the Gallup organization is who puts out this test, they claim that if you took this test 100 times over a period of time, your top five strengths would come out the same because there are characteristics that are just kind of imprinted in our personality. And interestingly, they were really darn close with me before and after my brain injury. Just one of them changed, and I'm going to talk to Anne a little bit about that. But what I found out is that, you know, I was the me that I recognized prior to my brain injury in my 25-year career, and then suddenly I went back and tried to do my career for a while, but I was doing it with a different head, and it was a lot more of a struggle for me, and I wasn't feeling comfortable in my shoes or my skin anymore, and I had a lot of confusion and nowhere to turn because, again, there was no support available at that time. And what I found out since I've been here doing radio and since I wrote my book, that was the precursor to me coming into radio, is that I'm using the same strengths now that I used in my career, but I'm applying them, well, in a real similar way, to be honest. But for the moment, that's all I'm going to say, which was probably like more than a mouthful. But I'd like to welcome now my guest, Anne Strong. Anne, you're on the air. Are you with me?
I am. Thank you, Kim.
Welcome. We're so glad you could be here tonight.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, so tell us a little bit about, well, tell a little bit about these strengths, how you got introduced to the Strengths Finder, and then how you got into doing what you're doing, which is coaching. Anne is a coach who went through, well, you can tell them. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
I've talked enough, Anne. You go.
Well, it starts back a little further than when I became a coach. I trace back how this all came about to a plaque that I made for my grandma. When I was 15, I made something that she had hanging on her wall that I rediscovered after she died. And the plaque said, "We are what we make ourselves." And honest to goodness, I have no idea how I knew that at 15. But by the age of 22, I wanted to start a business called The Listening Post. Didn't start it at that time because I didn't think anyone would believe a 22-year-old actually wanted to listen to them. Fast forward to 1998, I heard about this fairly new profession called life coaching and hired a coach myself and fell in love with what it was like to be partnered with to bring dreams into reality, and subsequently became a coach myself. And as part of that natural curiosity around what we make ourselves, I was very interested in assessments. And so when the first book around the Strengths Finder came out, Now Discover Your Strengths, I took the assessment, said, yeah, that's me, and promptly forgot about it until, fast forward again, 2007, the Strengths Finder 2.0 book came out. And I said, let me see. I didn't even realize it was the same assessment. So I, too, took it again like you did. And like you, four of my five strengths were the same.
Oh.
So that then made me realize that I had been squandering this amazing opportunity to really work with and dig into my strengths and make sure that I was living from them. And it's just been amazing ever since. Everyone in my world takes Strengths Finder, and it makes a huge difference to the fulfillment of a person's purpose and feeling of happiness and really aligning with who they are. So that's
I was going to say, when I read it, it said that people who are working in their within, and I mean working, you know, it may be that you're in a job, it may be that you're working at being a better person and redefining who you are, it may be that you're doing volunteer work. When we're talking about this, my premise in having Anne on is that we can talk about big business, small business, but when you think about it, individually, we are each a business. Our life is a business, no matter how we choose to apply it. And what I read was, if you're operating on a day-to-day basis, and whatever you want to define your work as, you're going to be happiest, most fulfilled, have your greatest sense of purpose, like Anne said. But on the inverse, you know, people that are miserable most of the time are not operating in their top five strengths. They're struggling somewhere down the list in an area that isn't their strength, and that's why they're not happy, because it's more of a struggle to be working in an area that doesn't come naturally to you, as I understood was the premise behind the top five. Is that right, Anne?
Yes. Gallup defines the strengths pretty specifically, where it's, they make a very strong claim, near perfect performance naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bold claim. And
very.
The thing is, you were close when you mentioned 36 strengths. There's actually 34 total strengths. they interviewed thousands of people to find out what are the strengths, and then they named them. And we can apply our strengths to anything, and we have the capacity, even our strength that is our 33rd or our 34th, which means not too strong,
mm-hmm.
we can do it for a little while. You know, many people, interestingly enough, don't have discipline as one of their top strengths. It's one of the bottom five that, you know, of all the people who have tested, it's one of the ones that comes up the least in the top five. And a lot of people have adapted to that. You know, when I was in a training about it, people were questioning this. Well, what about people in the military? A lot of people in the military have learned discipline, and it doesn't come naturally. There isn't near perfect performance. It drains them instead of energizes them. When we're working in our strengths, and by working, I mean doing anything, right? It could be our life, our volunteer work, our passion,
hobbies, our business, right? Mm-hmm.
We are energized, and it's so funny. When I first hired an assistant, I was kind of slow to want to give her what I thought were the crap jobs. You know, like, who would want to do this?
Right.
But luckily I had the sense to have us take the StrengthsFinder assessment, and she actually thrives on understanding how to get technology to work. She thrives on bringing together my request with what's going on with one of my service providers and making that harmonious between us, because harmony is one of her top five strengths. And me, I just start yelling at them, you know. Very unproductive. And I'm exhausted. I get off the phone and I have to lay on the floor. She gets off the phone and feels victorious and knows she did something important for them and for me. It's amazing. It's so beautiful.
And you bring up a really good point, and that's the StrengthsFinder. One of the other things that a lot of us survivors have had difficulty with or challenges with are relationships. And not only is the StrengthsFinder a useful tool for us as an individual to tell us what our top strengths, our top five strengths are, but it's interesting to find out our partner's five strengths. Because
yes.
by looking at yours and looking at theirs, and if Ann doesn't have an example, I do, because, like I said, I've got my five, and I had my husband take this test, so I had his five, and they're different. Mm.
But, I do have examples. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. I have two examples. One is my own. With me and my sweetheart, Gary, we don't have a single one in common in our top five. And yet, we work together beautifully. His are mostly getting things done strengths, and mine are mostly relationship building strengths. And we laugh at the simplest thing. You know, when a bunch of chores just have to be knocked out, he takes care of them before I've even gotten out of bed. And when we're doing something simple like eating dinner out, he'll just turn to me and say, "You take care of the relationships," and I'm supposed to ask the waitress for whatever we want. And it works beautifully. It's really amazing. I never would have thought that. You know, I would have thought more that your strengths need to be similar. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, my sister and her husband, their number one strength and their number three strength are the same. And funny, I just told you about discipline. Two people in my life, discipline, number one. And their number three strength, harmony. And it is amazing to watch them work together. They look like a well-oiled machine with their structure, their rhythm, their routines, the way they are with the kids. And they all do it in a lovely, gracious, quiet, calm way. It's astonishing. So two completely different couples, two completely different relationships, two completely different ways the strengths line up, and they both work.
Now, that's interesting that you have a Gary and I have a Gary too, and
yes.
that we both, our number four is the same and all the rest are different. And I'm going to say what these are, and then for the sake of the audience, I'd like to go back and have you maybe just give a couple of sentences. Some of these are self-explanatory, but just to give a couple of sentences of what these adjectives are. But first of all, I'll do Gary's because they're a little more self-explanatory, I think. His first one is consistency. So give me one sentence on that. Give us a descriptor on consistency.
Absolutely, and you're right. This is a bit more explanatory than some of the other ones are. First and foremost, he wants to know that everybody's treated the same, that there are rules, there are ways to do things. You don't need to customize things. You just follow the policies and follow the procedures. That's consistency in a nutshell.
Which would go with the fact that he spent 20 years in the military. His career was in the Air Force for 20 years, where things are very consistent a lot of times. His number two is harmony.
Got it. And so we've already talked about that a little bit with my assistant and with my sister and brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, they want things to be smooth. They don't look for conflict. When they see conflict, they either figure out how to quickly shift it or they leave the room, literally.
Yep. Tuck and roll.
Yep. That's harmony in a nutshell.
Intellection.
It's a strange word. Some of these words they sort of made up, I guess. And so it is derived from intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And intellection is a thinking strength. It's really about a lot of time spent in their mind conceptualizing. They like time alone to think. They want to understand. Deep, really thinking deep is intellection in a nutshell.
And he is a systems analyst, so he does computer things like you were talking about, not only on the computer things, which are a little more technical, but you're right, he likes to think things through a little more, where I'm probably more spontaneous, I suppose. Okay, number four, this was also my number four and the only one that we have in common. And this is one that when I took it the first time, it was my number three. The second time, it dropped down to my number four, and it is Gary's number four, and it's adaptability.
Got it. And that's another one of those that's a little more straightforward. You're in the here and now. You're willing to change in a moment's notice. You just flow like a river. And it's interesting when you start to put them together now, he's going to look different with his adaptability than you because of his intellection and consistency.
Hmm.
So with consistency, it doesn't mean he's going to be so adaptable about those rules and regulation, but he might be adaptable about schedule. He might be adaptable about what he eats. He might be adaptable about how he spends his free time. With intellection, he's going to want some alone time. So if something keeps interrupting his solidarity or his time to work through what he's thinking about, he might not be so adaptable. So when you start to take into account the whole picture, it can look very different, right? Your other strengths will influence your adaptability, and you have very different other strengths than he does.
Right, and we'll keep that in mind. That's really interesting. And one reason why it's kind of good is I'm a night owl and he's a morning person. So he has his time, you know, to practice his intellection in the wee hours of the morning where you will never see me. And and I'm the night owl who's up, and we'll talk about some of mine here in a minute. But yeah, that is interesting that the word adaptability is the same, but in context with the other four, it can perform differently. And I think that's an aha. It gives me a little more insight into maybe how we work together. And again, this exercise is, and we'll get to the individual part of it when I pop over here to mine in a minute, but I just thought I would show you this because, you know, if you take this, it would benefit you, but also perhaps people that you're going to be working with, whether it's in a job, you're going to be marrying them, living with them, whatever, you know, you're mixing, people that you mix with closely, if you can have a greater understanding as to what some of the drivers are that are strong drivers in that person's personality, they're actually imprinted in that person's personality, it'll give you a better approach on how to deal with them. And that can make us more effective. You know, some people are always in your face kind of people who feel that it's their job to point out things in a way that puts people on the defensive sometimes. And if you know that this is the kind of person where more bees are going to be attracted by honey than an in-your-face approach, you're going to be much more effective at getting what you want. And so it helps to have these kind of insights and adapt our own personalities a little bit so that we're not having a cookie-cutter interaction with everybody that we meet. There's ways that when we learn some of these things about ourselves and broaden our awareness of ourselves, that'll make us not only happier people individually, headed in a direction where we're more fulfilled, happy, and comfortable, but also in our relationships, if we take the time to see what we're working with on that side, it might give us some insights into those relationships. But his last in the five, positivity.
Nice. And again, this one is pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
It's what it tells me about him is he's going to be looking for the positive. He's going to be optimistic, have hope, like keeping the energy upbeat. And if there's too many negative people, he won't be around. And especially because he has harmony. If there's too many negative people, he will not be around.
And I've noticed that. I've noticed that. I try to temper that. You know, some of my family of origin maybe goes the other direction with that. So it's something that I have to be careful of. And I've even found myself when I'm feeling that negativity, sometimes I just can't help it. And I default, you know, to behavior that was modeled early on. But at other times, because I have this knowledge now, I can reframe. I've got a saying, first thought wrong. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, don't you think? When you think about it, first thought wrong. And I think a lot of us in the audience, you know, who are listening tonight, if you really think about what I just said and you look back over your history of communicating, sometimes we're prone to being very reactionary, and I distinguish reaction versus response. A reaction is something that's faster, louder, more emotional. Responding is calmer, more thoughtful, and maybe a gentler approach. Now, I could be wrong on my definition, but that's kind of been my take on it. I've distinguished in my own life a difference between when I'm reacting and when I'm responding. And a lot of times when I'm in that reaction mode, if I can keep my mouth shut long enough to let the thought go through my mind, which is like an auto bumper sticker ticker taping across the inside of my brain now, first thought wrong, first thought wrong, first thought wrong. And if I can keep my mouth from opening and letting that first thought come out, then I'm going to be more apt to be able to respond rather than react. And I'm going to offend a lot less people in my life and be more effective with dealing with them in a positive way, at least has been my experience. So now you guys know a little bit about My Gary, he's a quiet, thoughtful, adaptable guy who follows the rules. And now you're going to hear the inverse, and that would be your host, his wife. My first one had been this word, which isn't as self-explanatory, and it did switch to my number two when I took it, but it still stayed in the top two, and that word is woo, W-O-O. Tell us a little bit about a woo person.
Yes. This one is actually the only one that's an acronym. It stands for winning others over, and it's about just really going into a room and working it in the most positive sense, that woo loves to meet new people. Woo loves to make an easy first connection. Woo believes that there's no strangers, just friends I haven't met yet. How does that fit for you, Kim?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that my husband first commented about my personality, and he saw me doing it in a work environment for a while, and then he saw me doing it when I was showing artwork, and then he's seen me doing it at book signings, and he's heard me doing it, well, we won't count the radio, we'll talk about tangible rooms for a moment, but one of the compliments he gave me early on is he had never seen me work a room, never seen anybody else work a room as well as I do. And he said, just nobody intimidates you. You treat everybody the same, whether it's the president of the company or the janitor, you know, who happens to be standing over in the corner. And so woo, again, you know, when I'm talking to people in the audience, that was a skill set that I had before when I was in my occupation, and now I couldn't go back to my occupation because of my brain injury, but you guys be the judge. You know, now I'm not in a tangible room where I'm seeing you in person, but I'm on the radio all over the world, and, you know, leave it up to you guys. Do you think woo still fits my personality as she described it? And, you know, I would have to say that's I think one of my strengths, or one of the things that I try to do, and so good. My first one, well, first I want to go to the third one for a minute. It's communication, and communication was my second one. What happened with me, the difference, and you said the same thing. You said you took it twice, and 4 out of 5 came out exactly the same. And I don't know if you got my email later today, but I was telling you the before and the after, the first 5 that I did, and then the second 5 after the brain injury. And it was interesting because the thing that came to number one the second time around was something that wasn't even in my top 10 the first time I took it. It was like a horse running in the rear that zoomed past all the rest of them into the front and became number one when it wasn't even in the list the first time. And one of them in my list the first time dropped out of the first 10 into oblivion. So I'm not quite sure what that's all about, or if yours were that drastic when they changed from the 4 to 5. But number two is communication. And that's
yes.
Probably pretty self-explanatory. It just means you like to talk a lot.
it really is. But it isn't just talking for talking's sake. It's getting something across, you know, expressing, delivering a message, and you do that brilliantly. You're using that right now, naturally. It's who you are.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we discussed adaptability. That's number 4. Now, and maybe we'll talk about when we do the other two, or not, maybe revisit that difference in the adaptability between Gary and I when we look at my other couple. But one of them, that was my number five both times that I took it. And I did this about 10 years apart, people. So 10 years apart and a brain injury apart. So this was my number five both times, and it's the word connectedness.
Yes. And you and I share that, Kim, and it was the one that for me took the longest to understand because it's one of the most natural things about me, just having an innate sense that everything's connected, things happen for a reason. It's one of the more spiritual ones of the 34. There's a couple that are really associated with spiritual, and this is one of them. And I think for me it took quite a while to understand, just by talking to other people I was really close to and knew really well, that living in a world where connectedness isn't in your top five, oh boy, I wouldn't want to do it. You know, all the stuff that's really hard to deal with, like I imagine a brain injury is, it helps give some reassurance around stuff like that.
Right, and I must say, I was a spiritual person, not a religious affiliated person, but a spiritual person who believed I wasn't the center of the universe, you know, that there was a power greater than myself. I believed that before my brain injury, but I felt I got solid evidence of it after my brain injury and the things that happened around, surrounding my brain injury. And then when I was able to connect with this group, you know, the brain injury survivor group, I felt even a stronger sense of connectedness because I had been alone and isolated in my condition, you know, in a vacuum for 17 years. And then all of a sudden, in a matter of months, I met hundreds of people and we're alike in so many ways that we have a greater understanding. And you know, some of us, you know, people like Craig, and I don't know his early time, the guy who started this show, you know, they were always, maybe not always, that's not fair. I don't know his earliest story right after his injury, but he went on to become, has become a huge activist, huge into awareness, and did a lot of talking about his experience. And a lot of people do. But in my situation, I didn't, because I thought nobody understood what I was going through. I looked normal. I talked normal. I wanted to be normal. And there wasn't anybody to keep me in check, or to question me on it because of the huge trauma. We've talked about this with our caregivers and loved ones who are around us when these brain traumas happened to us. And, you know, it was traumatic for them too. I was 35 years old and at the peak of my game at the time. And of course, you know, to be perfectly normal and at the peak of your game in the morning and have your brain blow up at 3 in the afternoon and change your life forever is a traumatic event. In my case, for my parents, and I was their only child, and they had some pretty heavy decisions to make, being told I probably wasn't going to live or be functional if I did. And so, you know, that was pretty tough duty all the way around. And so I didn't talk. I quit talking at a point because I would talk in the beginning about what had happened, and I would have people say things like, oh, I knew somebody who had a brain aneurysm and they're now in a nursing home, you know, whatever, drooling applesauce and don't know, you know, what the date is, or I knew somebody that had an aneurysm and they died. And I kept hearing, I don't think in the beginning when I mentioned it to the people who did know about it, who were in my life at the time, that I had one person that had something positive to say, except, you know, thank God you made it, thank God you're alive. But, I mean, nobody gave me an example of a success story. All I heard over and over and over were these horror stories. Well, I had just lived my horror story, and I understood I had a lot to be grateful for because I was walking and talking and looking normal, and that was a blessing. It could certainly have been a lot worse, but that didn't negate the fact that I had been through a severe trauma and it changed me. It just wasn't a visible change like some people have. And so, you know, it's just an interesting thing. When I got here, I felt very connected because I felt I could talk again, you know, for probably, let's see, I went 17 years, so probably about 15 years, I kept my mouth shut completely because by then, the people who knew about it, it had been addressed, and anyone new I met, I just didn't tell, you know, I just didn't talk about it. And then I got to be here, you know, finally decided to write a book about my experience a little over a year ago, and because of the internet highway, the word spread around a lot. One thing led to another, and I got involved in radio, and now there's hundreds of people out there. And again, I feel that connectedness that apparently is something that makes me thrive, gives me purpose, and makes me happy to feel connected to something that I feel is divinely inspired in many ways, which is pretty much what my book is about, is how many divine interventions had to have happened. Now, some people would call them coincidences, but the whole point of my book is that even the biggest skeptic, if they read it, would have to understand or at least be shaking their head trying to figure out how many coincidences, game changer, big coincidences, could actually stack up the way they did and not be some kind of divine intervention. So, you know, that's something that I believed in before, but believe in much more now. So certainly connectedness has been a big part of my life, and it got to be a bigger part of my life. So I had that in my personality before, but it kind of got squared, you know, after my experience, and more particularly once I met all of these nice people who are listening tonight. Last but least, my number one changed, and it became input.
Yes, I've thought about that a bit since you sent it to me, and I have a couple of ideas as to why that shifted. Input is about gathering either resources, as in tools, books, learning, or it could be collecting actual things. You might have a lot of collections, everything from teacups to china dolls to specific kinds of gardening implements, whatever your interest. All of these strengths can be used toward any interest, any passion. So for you, what I'm noticing is that after, as you were in recovery, you maybe sought things out more than you had before, and that might be why input went to the top. I don't know the official way that Gallup talks about strengths, but I don't think they say they're always going to be the same. I know many, many people who have taken it repeatedly. I know one guy at Gallup told me he even tried to quote-unquote cheat it because he understands it, and they still came out similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they move around a little bit, and the thought behind why they move around is if you're in a very different kind of life, or if your life is very focused very different, you know, something else would surface. So your other one that dropped off your list is called Activator, and it's about moving forward right away. You have an idea, you got to do something about it. I too shared this one, and it dropped down. It was originally my number 5, and it dropped down to number 8. And believe me, it still runs my life. I used to jokingly refer to it as the strength where I dived into the pool, and on the way down, I looked to see if there was water.
Right.
I'm sure you probably might know that from your early days when you were at the top of your game.
Absolutely.
And so I actually still love Activator. It helps me get stuff done. And perhaps in recovery, getting stuff done took a much lower priority. That's a guess.
You know,
how does that fit for you?
Well, yes and no. Earlier, and I'll run this one by you, I told you I was more spontaneous. I still like to get things done, but instead of doing it in a completely spontaneous way, it's been interesting since I've come down this path, out of my career path and down the recovery path. And again, it started with the timing. After 17 years of taking notes, I had done in 95 and writing a book about it. Obviously, I sat down with a goal and I did that. But what I didn't know when I did that is that it was going to lead me down a path that was completely different than being a financial consultant for 25 years. It was going to lead me down a path of spirituality and recovery that was going to include radio, that was going to become awareness, advocacy. And these weren't things that I knew anything about. When I wrote my book, I was simply writing my story as an isolated survivor, because I thought I was. And then when it started circulating and I found out the relatability factor, because so many other people had been through similar things, I feel like in some ways, instead of me, myself, just going headstrong and willfully into accomplishments, that God is actually putting stones in front of me on the path, and that there's people along the way holding up the lantern for me to know which way to go. So I think it might be more thoughtful now than it was before. Do you think that's possible?
Absolutely.
So God is the activator, maybe, not me, and I'm just following in instruction, maybe with that input. I'm gathering more information now before I make some of those changes and plans. Believe me, it was a big change to go from a very substantial income and lifestyle to a completely volunteer life and a different lifestyle. You would at first blush think that that would be very unappealing, because I was a power shopper and I liked my shiny life. In some regards, I liked my shiny life. I wasn't happy, but I liked some of the perks in my shiny life back then. But I've never felt more fulfilled and with purpose that I feel is aligned with God's will and not Kim's will than I have in the last couple months.
Beautiful. That's really well put, Kim. And I think you're starting to pay attention to how your strengths interact together now. It's not you, Kim, here, and over there are these 5 separate strengths, and you pull them off the shelf as you need them. It's how you integrate it all. It's part of you, and they're not separate, and one informs the other. The reason that your adaptability would look different than Gary's adaptability.
Right. But as the audience can see, those five items would have served me well in a sales environment, and they serve me well now as I learn awareness and advocacy and support, online support groups and radio and the things that I'm doing now, the talks that I have changed a lot. You know, right when my book came out, my talks were about my book. Now my talks, and I just did one 2 weeks ago to a women's group, and the talk has changed so much. There's some, you know, it was all about my story in my book in the beginning when it first came out before radio. Now that I've been involved with radio and survivors by the droves and heard their stories on other people's shows, by other hosts and guests on my shows, now the talks that I give out in public incorporate some of my story that let people know how I came to where I am. But a bigger part of my story is about the things I was talking about earlier. The whole topic of brain injury survivors and the silent epidemic and the lack of awareness and advocacy that associations are working to promote, but this huge void for survivors where there has not been an active peer-to-peer support where people can find relatability and strength in numbers. And so it's, like I say, it's the same skill set applied in a different way. And I guess one of the reasons, again, that I wanted to bring this up on the show tonight is because I know, particularly when we're new, shortly after, you know, in those first weeks, months, couple years after our brain injuries, we're upside down. First, we spend a little bit of time in denial, and then we go through the grief process. You know, we're angry, we're depressed, we go through, you know, the whole thing. We finally come to acceptance, and okay, now we're to acceptance. I've had this brain injury, I'm different, I can't go back and did what I did before, the way I did it. And this is a time that is crucial because it's a time when some people make the wrong decision. They start self-medicating or possibly become suicidal because they no longer believe in themselves. Their self-esteem has been undermined, and because they're not able to use, they might not have realized that they were their strengths before, but because they're not applying them the way that they used to, they might be questioning their self-worth at that time. And because of this big gap and void I'm talking about, they're not getting validation about the legitimacy of their feelings at this time. And so it's a dangerous time. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring up this topic is that strengths aren't right or wrong. There's 34 of them, and y'all got them. You know, if y'all sat down and took this test, you're all going to have five strengths. Whether you got a brain injury or not, this is the test you can't fail. It's just, you know, you can't fail this test. It's just going to tell you, based on your answers, what your strengths are. And number one and most important in that is that you do have strengths, no matter what part of the process of your recovery you're in. You have strengths, and they'll serve you. You know, they'll serve you with some help, with some support, you know, some support, and some action. And sometimes that action is going to be through a coach, someone like Anne. And there's a lot of ways to get to it, but. One of the ways, and I want to switch to Anne now, and then I'm going to take your calls. There might be some of you out there who have actually taken the test or others of you that would like to ask some questions of Anne or I, or just make some comments to Anne for being on the show tonight. But so you took the test a couple of times, you got other people taking the test, and then you finish with the rest of your story, then is that about the point that you decided that they had a certification that you could become a life coach with an emphasis on this strengths training and helping people first, you know, point them to that test where they find out what their strengths are and then counsel with them, consult with them about some of the possible applications of those strengths that would point a person in the right direction, at least, because I was clueless. I mean, I had only done one thing for 25 years, and so when that got taken away, I was clueless, and I was at that jumping off point that I was talking about a few moments ago, and that would have been a big waste for what was going to come. That would have been a permanent solution for a temporary problem. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people stop, you know, is they don't see it as a temporary problem because it was a permanent change. But a permanent change doesn't mean the end. Jenny in the chat room says this. She said it beautifully in a poem she wrote the other day and posted, that it's not the end, it's the beginning. And unfortunately, a lot of people, and again, it's because it's in our brain, our perceptions are off, you know, right after those brain injuries, and we make some permanent decisions on something that's going to be a temporary issue. Yeah, the brain injury might be permanent. The residuals might always be there, but does that mean we're not valid individuals anymore? Does that mean we don't have strengths anymore? Does that mean we don't have the potential to move forward onto a life path that if you do have any faith or have a higher power, a God of your understanding, that his plan might have, I don't believe that God causes these things, but if these things happen, they can become a conduit to change. Now, if I never would have had this brain injury, I might have been a financial consultant for 50 years, you know, and then retired. And I wouldn't have had the opportunity to stop, be forced to change my life, and as a byproduct of that change that I went down kicking and screaming with, I'm happier and more fulfilled and have more of a sense of purpose than I've ever had in my life. And that is during a time, which you know, because I had to discuss it with you and some of our audience knows, this has been a really rough couple of months for me personally with some family issues going on that have been pretty serious, and they're going to be ongoing issues that are going to be hard. They're going to be hard, and I'll just leave it at that. And but in spite of that, I can say, you know, I used to have a perspective in my early 20s that if one aspect or one compartment of my life wasn't going the way I wanted it or it was bad, that I would paint everything bad, you know. Kind of a spoiled attitude. If the love life stunk, then all of a sudden work stunk, the hobby stunk, the way I looked in a dress stunk, you know, everything was bad. Now, with a little more maturity and life experience and watching and learning from other people, I can understand that while I've got some really things that have been trying me, weighing heavily on me for the last couple months, and it's going to go on for a while, that I can still sit here and honestly say that the realization of those strengths have given me the confidence, and that my faith and spirituality, that connectedness, the fact that I've got a family in the brain injury world now and in another recovery world outside of my family of origin, is going to help me with these challenges that are going on in my family of origin right now, and that I still have a right to be happy and have purpose and feel fulfilled in my life, even if everything in my life isn't perfect.
Really well said, Kim.
So tell me how you came to become a coach. So you gave us a little timeline of how you got to where you got to taking the test the second time around to find out your strengths, and similar to mine, 4 out of 5 came out the same. And then what made you decide to become a coach?
I actually was a coach before I took StrengthsFinder the first time. I took it the first time in 2001. And I became a coach because of my own experience of being coached and really experiencing that while I'd done great things in my life in working with my first coach, I achieved more. I was more satisfied. And that was in 1997, and by 1998, I'd started coaching people myself. I was in the marketing business then, primarily helping self-employed people develop their logos, write their brochures, that kind of thing. So it was a natural segue to ask them if they wanted coaching around marketing, because most of them didn't like to market. I was pretty sure they just took their brochures and stuck them in the closet and occasionally handed them out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when they started coaching, they actually knew what to do with their brochures, and they got more business because of it. And pretty quickly I realized that marketing was just kind of my doorway in. It was the bridge between where I was and coaching. And I decided 2 years into it, right around the time I took, no, it was a little bit before I took the StrengthsFinder the first time, that if I could make one impact on the world, as much as I loved graphic design, as much as I loved writing clear, concise brochures, the impact of coaching a person and the fact that it positively encouraged their whole life and their business, I'd rather be doing that all the time. So same strengths, right, just like what you're talking about, that I was using in graphic design, I could use them even more in coaching. So it came easier, I was more fulfilled, I thrived more quickly. And when I first took the StrengthsFinder, it made sense, but I didn't do anything with it. So it wasn't really until I took it the second time and understood that I had stepped over the tremendous opportunity to really dig deep into my own strengths and make sure that my whole life was built around them, and that the things I needed in my life that didn't fit my strengths, I would get support around. Thus, my assistant. I've had this same assistant for 6 years now, and before that, I had an assistant for 5 or 6, because there's a lot of stuff in my business that just drained me. Yes, I can do it, but no, I don't wanna. So it's been really great to acknowledge that, and I started having all my clients take the assessment. Everyone in my family and extended family has taken it, and I've just seen what a huge difference it makes, not just in me orienting my own life and work around it, but what you mentioned earlier. I've had some really hard things between me and my sisters, and in fact ended up as the mediator one time between two of my sisters, and by understanding their strengths was able to explain to the other one on both sides, this is what's going on, don't take it personally, this is just where they're coming from, and it helps not escalate it. And believe me, mediator is not in my top strengths, but I was willing to do it because the price I could see was going to be too high if I didn't. And by knowing StrengthsFinder, I could do it. You know, without StrengthsFinder, I couldn't have. So,
and I think that's a good point, because a lot of people here are into peer mentor support. And like I say, that peer support line is just getting ready to start. They're being trained over there. And like I said, in our own interpersonal interactions and just the way that we conduct ourselves. You know, one of the things that I call full basket syndrome, there were things that I used to be able to multitask and do before my brain injury, and it was a piece of cake. You know, I could juggle 8 balls in the air and not break a sweat. And then all of a sudden, afterward, you know, I'd try to juggle 3 balls in the air, break a sweat, and the balls would hit me in the head as they were coming down. It was totally a different deal. And so one of the things you brought up is, you know, when you are in a position where one of the things isn't your strength, that might be the time to get the support help and delegate it to somebody who does have those strengths. And I'll give you an example. On our radio show, we've got 7 different hosts, 7 nights a week. And as I mentioned in the beginning, each brings a different strength to the table. One of our people is a DJ, and DJ is a researcher extraordinaire. You bring him a technical question, medical question, workman's comp question, and he cracks the Google. You used to say crack the books, but he cracks the Google and does the research, and, you know, he's just all over it with helpful information like that. That's not so much my strength. You know, that's not one of the things that I bring to the table. And so it's helpful as a team of hosts to be able to rely on, first of all, to agree that we are a team and that we're all going to be team players. And by virtue of the commitment of being team players, it means that we're all going to acknowledge that we have different strengths, and we're all going to bring those strengths to the table in the most productive way possible for Brain Injury Radio, and put egos aside and pride aside and do what's best for the reason we joined in the first place. It wasn't to become a rock star. You know, we're here trying to help other survivors. So when we keep our primary purpose front and center, then the ego has to go by the wayside and the team player has to come to the forefront. And at that time is when we recognize and acknowledge and accept that it isn't bad or good. We all got different strengths. And so if I'm good at A and B, but I'm really not so good at C and D, then the host who's good at C and D should want to step up just like I would, because we're trying to create the whole puzzle, but it takes all of us to assemble the pieces, because no one of us has all of the strengths it takes to do what we're doing.
Precisely. And the greatest part about it is if you do that crack in the Google and it wears you out, but you don't let, is it DJ who's good at it?
Uh-huh.
If you don't let him do it, you have deprived him of what energizes him, what he loves to do, what he's here to do.
Right. Right, and because some of us get, another one I use, full basket syndrome, and that, you know, too many things to juggle at once. When you say deprive the person, another way is that if you give a person too much, like say, you know, they have their strength, and we'll just, since we were using him as an example, we'll just continue with that. But, you know, if we take the area that's his strength, which is that cracking the Google and bringing the information, but then we go out and ask him to start a bunch of support groups, take over coordinating the radio programs, go out and call on the AM radio stations, go out and speak to groups about brain injury awareness, then chances are, yeah, he's going to be spread too thin and won't be as effective at his strength, because he's getting sucked dry in areas that might not be his strength. It's going to take the energy away from his strength by overloading the basket with some areas that he may not be as strong in. And same with me. You know, like you said, if you sat me down and Googled when I'm out trying to network, you know, and do the people thing like that, and you want to tie me up on the computer 4 hours a day, I'm going to get a migraine, which is not going to make me excel at wooing, communicating, connectedness, adaptability. Well, I'm going to fall on my knees for the connectedness, you know, to beg me to let me get back to input, woo, and communication and keep me out of maybe strategic or some of these other things. DJ's not here tonight. I don't know if he took the test, so I don't know what his strengths are, but they would be a little different than mine. You know, and so, and again, just using that as an example, he and I, but we're all the same. We all have different strengths. Jenny is a survivor who's working on Facebook pages, and she is doing some really inspirational things, making people feel part of and really out there working. She's also been one of the huge supporters for all of our shows almost 7 nights a week, you know, 5 to 7 nights a week. She's here. If I need somebody to type something in the chat room, like somebody's website, always there to help, always there to support. And you really need people. I really need people like that, as do the other hosts, because for us with brain injuries, one of the things we're called upon to do is to watch a chat room, do the interview, do the research for the interview, find our guests, and watch the switchboard, and remember to make some announcements that I'll do in a few minutes. And that's a lot of stuff. And if we didn't have the support people there, again, you know, they make us look good. The Jennies make us look good because they're out there, you know, helping and supporting. And DJ does that too. He's quick on the draw when it comes to typing also, because he's got these resources in his mind. And you know, people, it all works. All I'm saying is that there's a wheel and there's a lot of different cogs in the wheel, and we need them all or the wheel won't roll. So one of the things that Anne does, and again, I put her website in the chat room. I'm going to repeat it again. It's Anne Strong, so www.annstrong.com. I encourage you, I'm going to open up the line, so you guys, if you do have questions, go ahead and start calling in and putting up your hands now. We've got about 15 minutes left, probably 10 minutes before I close the show. So hold up your hands if you have any questions or want to make any comments to Anne. If you do get interested in coaching or hearing more about coaching, Anne's contact information is on her website. I encourage you to go there, check out her website. She makes a lot of reference to, you know, working with small business and that sort of thing, and she does do that and excels at it. But before I ever brought her on the show, I talked to her a little bit about where some of us are at, where I'm at, and some other people I've observed that, you know, maybe we're not on a career path at this moment, but we are working in a different way through advocacy, awareness, support, trying to evolve as individuals. And we talked about the concept as the individual being their own business, you know, just by virtue of being an individual who, because we're here, is seeking a purpose. And I talked to a couple of different people who, and I feel I have to say, and this is no reflection, I tried to get a hold of Gallup first because they made up the test, and they didn't even give a call back. So I sought to find some other people who had experience, more experience than me, and found some coaches, and Anne was actually the one, and I want to commend her and thank her profusely for this, who understood exactly what I was saying and was willing and excited about the concept of using strengths in recovery-related programs. And I'm not saying she's doing it, but it was a seed planted, you know, in her mind, and we're going to continue to talk about it. But I can see where this type of approach would be very effective in recovery therapies in the future. And whether there was cooperation with some places or not, you know, they're not turning down money for people coming and taking the Strengths Finder test. And so once a person knows what their strengths are, whether it was directly or indirectly, somebody who has background like Anne has, and hopefully more and more therapists, if for the people who are in like a rehab facility, and if not in that context, being able to get a hold of coaches like Anne who are willing to, you know, get you to the test, find out what your top five strengths are, and give you some guidance toward. I've always said that the reason we were given a second chance at life wasn't just so we could have a life. It was so we'd have an opportunity to make a life worth living. And a life worth living is one that makes us happy, gives us purpose, and is of service to our fellows. And that's the kind of thing that people like Anne are striving to do, whether it's in the business, small business environment, or through individuals. And interestingly, if you're one of the individuals who goes and talks to Anne or somebody like her, gets involved in the strengths, shows some interest in the strengths training, then who knows? Something might spring out of that that becomes a job, a paying job, or a way for you to get paid for something that you love that you never dreamed. Like I said, a year and a half ago, I never knew I'd be sitting here doing this. I didn't know I'd write a book. I didn't know I'd be on the radio. I didn't know I'd be into advocacy, awareness, nothing. I had no idea. The only world I knew was the previous 25 years as being a financial consultant. Had no idea I'd be here. So if it was something like finding out what your five strengths are and then having someone guide you in a direction, that might change your life again forever and in a beautiful, profound way. So what I'm going to do is post real quick again the link in the chat room. And then I'll say it, and this is if this has piqued your interest, to go, it's $9.99. It takes about 30 minutes. You would go to I'm going to say it first, and then I'll spell it for the people in the audience. It's www.gallupstrengthscenter.com/purchase. So it's www.gallupstrengthscenter.com/purchase. And if you didn't catch that in the chat or by me saying it on air, feel free to contact Anne at annstrong.com. She will tell you how to get there, or you can get a hold of me at inaflash.org. I have a tab that says Contact Author. That sends me an email directly to my desk, and I will forward you this information. So one way or another, if you're interested in taking this test to see what your top five strengths are, we will get you there. So, I'm not sure that I see any hands up on the board right now. Anne, is there any final comments? I've got just about 4 minutes left. It looks like we've had, I don't know if you've been connected in the chat room or not, but we've gotten a lot of great compliments on you and on the show, and what an inspiration. And a lot of people have piqued curiosity about this topic and would like to know what their strengths are, and really, really appreciate you being on the show tonight.
I do have some final words, Kim. I just can't say strongly enough, this is the activator in me coming out. I would love for any of you who are listening right now, if you feel like having a little bit more understanding about what would be a solid compass for you, your own personal compass, take the StrengthsFinder, commit to doing it by the end of this week, and give yourself that huge gift for just $10 of knowing something you can rely on. I can't even begin to imagine what it's like to have a brain injury, a near-death experience, any of that. But I work with a ton of people in transition. I've been in a lot of transitions myself, tough transitions where you don't know what's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And to have something that we know is uniquely us and that we can apply it to anything we want, the strengths do not indicate where you apply them. You found you could apply yours in the financial industry, or you could apply them in this advocacy role.
Mm-hmm.
So please, please, if you're looking for something that you can rely on, do this for yourself and don't let it drop. If you get involved in the peer support group, it would be a beautiful thing to be working with one another to reflect back, oh, there's your activator at work, or, oh, I wonder how you could bring harmony to that. It's easier for us to see each other's strengths. It's challenging. The reason that I took the test the first time myself and then said, oh, yeah, that's me, and left it alone for many years is because our strengths, our top five strengths, are like a fish being in water. The fish doesn't know the importance of water. We don't know the importance of our strengths. Oftentimes people look at them and say, oh, well, doesn't everybody do that? No, everybody does not do that, especially when you combine your five strengths. You know, the uniqueness that is you, Kim, with your input, woo, communication, adaptability, connectedness, it's very rarely repeated. And even more rare in that order. And so it makes you extremely unique. You know, your compass is different than your husband's compass, even though it has a point in common. Your compass is different than mine, even though you and I have a point in common. So I don't even know how to stress strongly enough. And because I have that activator in me, I just want to come and sit right next to each of you and have you take the test and then just have a chat with you about it. So please,
okay,
do that for yourself.
Okay, Anne. Well, we're down to the three-minute mark, so I'm sorry I'm going to have to let you go and close my show, but God bless you. Thank you so much for being on tonight. And like I said, I'm sorry I'm going to have to mute you and close my show, but thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We'll be in touch, and I look forward to many more interactions.
You are welcome. Good night.
Good night. Again, I want to thank Anne Strong. I will have overtime tonight. Call 424-243-9540 real quick if you want to stay for the overtime. I want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson at tbilaw.com. If you have any litigation issues regarding your traumatic brain injury, check him out, tbilaw.com. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. I want to thank my guest, going to close the show in my usual way with something I believe that we all have, and then I will see you in 51 seconds in overtime. For those of you who choose to stay, for those of you who don't, thank you so much for being here tonight, and God bless. Again, something I think we all have is a guardian angel. This is Guardian Angel by Leah West. Check her out at leahwest.com. Good night, folks.
God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you.
Okay, that should be down to the gnat's eye over into overtime. Again, I want to thank Anne Strong, my guest tonight. I was giving you guys the link, and again, like I said, check with Anne Strong on her website or get a hold of me any number of places, and I can give you the information if you didn't have the link. But the other thing I can tell you, and I will type it in now. There's an actual book you can go by. What the test will do is it will give you those adjectives, those top five strengths. But if you want to go to the library or go and buy the actual book, I am going to type, sorry, you guys, it's called Now, comma, Discover Your Strengths. And let me spell that. Okay, so I'm not so good multitasking in overtime. The book is called Now Discover Your Strengths. And it is by Buckingham and Clifton. Those are the last names of the author. If you were to go into any bookstore, say you're looking for a book called Now Discover Your Strengths by Buckingham and Clifton, they'll be able to show you the book. That book has a secret code in the back of it. And when you get the secret code, that will enable you to go online, not have to pay the $9.99 because you've already paid a little more for the book. It will allow you to take that test with the secret code, so you'll get your five strengths, and then you'll actually have the book that explains all 34 of those strengths and tells you a little bit how to apply them, what they mean, you know, just some general information. I found it a very interesting book because I liked not only reading in depth. It's kind of like a horoscope book in some ways. You know, you go on there and you find your strengths from taking the test, and then you go read about a page and a half on each of your strengths, which is going to give you a little more clarity about yourself. And then you look at, you know, the ones from your partner or anyone else, maybe someone you work with, and you kind of get an idea about theirs. And then it has different chapters in the book about different combinations, sample combinations of the 34 characteristics, and gives examples of what you might be good at. And so this is something that would maybe be a precursor and a little bit less expensive than getting a coach. It might be an investment you'd want to make in the book. The book's been out for quite a while now, so I shouldn't think that it would be very expensive. But again, the library is a resource. And if you check out the book, take the test, you can do all of that for very little money. and then you can decide if you wanted to go that step further and maybe have a couple visits with a StrengthsFinder coach. Anne isn't the only one, but again, I screened several, and she seemed to be one who really saw the merit of this tool in recovery, as I do. And again, I tried to call the Gallup organization. You've all heard of the Gallup poll, and they're the ones who made up this StrengthsFinder test. I'm not being slanderous, I'm being honest. I called 3 times and left messages, and no one even bothered to call me back. So the Gallup organization is interested in taking this tool into big businesses, not even Fortune 500, but Fortune 100 companies, and developing it in the big business marketplace because that's where the money is. However, comma, the way I see it, after having taken these tests a couple of times and with my background, my long background in various forms of recovery, God, what can be more affirming than telling people who have had their confidence and self-esteem undermined by an illness or the failure of a relationship or an abusive situation or an addictive situation or any kind of game changer type situation? What could be more affirming than finding out at that moment that you have strengths and that those strengths can help you go down a new road? And that's going to help you let that old road go or come to terms with that old road as your new redefined life starts evolving. So I see some huge potential for this in the field of recovery. Unfortunately, the creators don't. So there might be a way through people like Anne and others, if I decide to pursue this a little bit more, to adopt it into recovery programs of all kinds, just because it's something that I thought was real interesting. So I've just got 2 people on the line. Nobody has their hands up, but we do have some overtime. I'll wait before I put you guys on the spot and unmute you so you guys can keep chatting in the chat room. We had a nice crowd tonight. I want to thank everybody who is in the chat and who remained staying on the show. Now I do have a hand up. I'm going to answer the call. And after that, I've got some music, some stories, and some antidotes I'll play. We'll talk as long as you guys want to talk. And otherwise, if you guys get tired or have to go, that's fine. I'm just going to play some music tonight for the listeners that are out there. But I have a hand up, and it's one of my other favorite hosts, Les Paul. Is that you?
It certainly is, and I just want to thank you for a wonderful show tonight, Kim.
Thank you.
You really can tell you studied hard on this. Man, I enjoyed the guest. I enjoyed what you were talking about, and I feel bad I didn't take the test when I totally planned on it, and I've had such a wildly busy week with all brain injury-related things. You remember me talking about a place called the Snow Cap? We did our grand finale. We had a karaoke contest at the end of it. And we gave away $50 to the winner, and it was a young man who has cerebral palsy, which is a brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And he sang "I Can Only Imagine," and people were in tears.
Oh,
I mean, they were in tears when he sung. So he won. He's a great guy. His name is Brett. But what you talked about tonight was just it was wonderful. I wish I would have taken the test. I feel bad about it because I planned on doing it.
Well, you know, you still can. It's like I said, you know, with the book. And again, anybody, some of you have my email already. You know, you can write to me. Some of you got my number. You can call me. Those of you in the audience, if we're not Facebook friends, if you don't have another way of getting a hold of me, I know we've got a way on Brain Injury Radio. I just don't know how yet. So if I really want to, until I figure that out, the way I know you can get a hold of me, because the email comes directly to my desk, is that going to inaflash.org, it says contact author, that sends an email directly to me, And if you want information, if you missed it in the chat and you don't want to go back and listen to the whole program again, I will give you that link. I'll send you the link where all you got to do is click on it and it'll take you to that test. Or if you're interested in looking at the book the next time you're in the bookstore, I encourage you to take it after. You know, a lot of people take it after the show. They're not so sure what it's all about, you know, before.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about it, but, you know, for example, Les, where I got turned on to it was in a business setting, and
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Walton Independent Living Center didn't sometime want to get involved in the Strengths Finder test.
I was actually thinking about that. I started at, I don't know if you saw, but I logged in. I'm not logged in. I pressed the button, I looked at the time and saw you were running out of time, and that's why I didn't ask a question, because that's kind of the question I was going to ask, because I could see how it could work for places like independent living centers and disability centers to find the strengths of the people who have the disability, but they also have a lot of knowledge that is cooped up and trapped inside of them waiting to jump out.
Yep.
And if it's a shame that a lot of people go so many years, decades, and sometimes a whole life without ever knowing what they were good at until, and some people I've known discover they're great at something 30 years after it happened, after the accident happened. It'd be wonderful to know early in your life, early in the injury, okay, what are some of the skills this person has a talent for, and what are some of the things maybe this person shouldn't try? That's what I was thinking.
Right. Yeah, me too. And one of the stories, you know, when I finally had to leave my career, I had been self-employed for the bulk of that time, and I think I mentioned before on the show, I won't belabor it, but toward the end, I worked for a long time, but I took for granted the fact I was in a family business, self-employed. I wasn't on the payroll. I worked on commission, but I did office with family, and I took for granted how much I was being covered for when I was living in that world of post-it notes, and I couldn't remember things. I had assistants, you know, that were paid for by my dad for our whole business, but I mean, they were doing a lot of covering for me, and I just had my attitude and my denial going on, and I was able to keep going for a lot longer than most people because I was in a unique situation. But came to a point in 2004, so it was a decade after my brain injury, where my dad was, our lease came up, we were going to have to sign another like 7-year lease in our high rent office. My dad had just been diagnosed, and my benefits, I was paying for my own benefits, and I was a single, and back at the middle of 2003, I was paying $765 a month for my health insurance out of my own pocket.
Wow.
So when all these stars lined up, I needed to go out, and I wound up getting a position for the first time in my life outside of the business, and it was in a financial institution. And I was a different culture because I was from the investment field at that time. I did insurance and investments, and a banking culture is a different culture in their own minds than an investment and financial consulting culture. And so a couple things happened. They hired me to, they didn't have an investment department. They hired me to start the investment department, build the investment department, run the investment department, be the investment department. So I was hired for a big job.
Wow, that is a big one.
But the first thing they did is they had a brand new huge building, and they isolated me. They put me on a side of the building where there was no one else.
Oh, wow.
They didn't want to mix me with their culture. And so they had me physically isolated. Well, I was also emotionally isolated because I was the black sheep in the pen. They knew I was one of those, not one of theirs.
I see what you mean.
And while some sniffed around and had curiosity, I still wasn't one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, I do know what you mean.
And so, interestingly, it was at that time that they had Gallup come in and we did the Strengths Finder test. Well, it was interesting because I had been feeling sick. I lasted in that job, again, longer than I should have. I lasted until the middle of 2006, but I started getting sick. In 2004, I was very hopeful because I had some grand ideas and some things I wanted to do to evolve this new position, and I ran into a lot of opposition. And it was because we had all been used to operating different from the environment we came from. I thought I was wrong. Again, I was questioning myself and my value and thinking I had lost it and being my own worst critic. And then they had Gallup come in and they had us do the Strength Finder test. And they did it two ways. We took it ourselves so that we got our top five like I was reading you. But then they also had us take it in our peer group, and I was in management. So I took it with the president of the bank, the vice president, the chief financial officer, the branch managers, and myself. We were all management. So the management team, what Gallup did is we got our individual strengths, and then they compared it with a composite of the group that you took it in. And it was shortly after that I spun out and left the job, but I was validated by that test because what I found was an hourglass. My top five, and in fact my top 10 strengths, were their bottom ones.
Oh, my goodness.
And my top were their bottom ones. Anyway, I might have said that wrong, but we were opposites.
Okay.
In our strengths. And that's why the trouble, you know, that's why a lot of the trouble. It wasn't that I was wrong, different, not valid anymore, the black sheep in the pen. We were different.
Opposite in, spectrum, I guess you could say?
Yes, we were opposite spectrum. And it was breaking me. And what she was saying is I had my top five strengths, but I was being forced to work in my bottom of the 34.
Wow.
That's why I was so miserable. That's why my symptoms started flaring and why extra things. Like my regular symptoms I talk about, my residuals, those were all flaring. You know, my emotions, all those things I'm not going to go over again. But other things happened. Like I started getting gastro problems. I wound up having to get my gallbladder out. I got pneumonia a couple months later. A couple months after that, I got shingles that broke out all over my forehead, down the inside of my face, across my...
That was eating you up, literally.
Yes, it was eating me up. Every other month for about a year and a half, and it was because I had that damn... I wish Kevin wouldn't have left. You know, I was raised by a Marine, a Type A Marine, and I've got that in my... personality too, and I was killing myself before I was quitting, you know what I mean? I got so sick on every level, spiritually, emotionally, physically, every level you could get on, I allowed myself to get so sick that one day I just folded like a house of cards, got up and left the office like I would any day, and I never went back. There was no exit interview, no good night, Irene, no
case of rah-rah.
That was it. I left. It's been since the middle of 2006. I've never seen any of those people again. If I did, I'd probably break out in a cold sweat and have to start breathing out of a paper bag.
Goodness.
But on the other hand, maybe not. you know, maybe now that I'm doing what I'm doing, I'd be able to hold my head up high and understand that I wasn't a failure.
I was fixing to say almost the same thing. You probably would turn back and look, and I don't mean laugh, but almost laugh at them and say, you know, I'm so beyond that now. I've moved so much farther ahead. It's almost the thing like the song where it says, the future's so bright, I've got to wear shades, something like that.
Yeah. Well, it has been very affirming for me to go back and look at those skills when I had the idea for this show and go, wow, these are the skills that I always had. I used them successfully for 20 of the 25 years of my career. And in that last few years, I wasn't allowed to operate in my top five. I was being forced to operate in a place that was torture for me.
No wonder it was that way for you, man.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to work rooms. I wasn't allowed, you know, to use the input, the woo, the communication, and the adaptability. You know, she's talking about different applications of adaptability. Well, I adapted long enough to be there 2.5 years, but I could not adapt comfortably because the other four of the five weren't there. You know, they were so opposite. They were all quantitative type out of the 34, you know, more numbers, more strategic, more, I don't know, pocket protector, pin protector.
Okay.
I don't know. They were, I don't mean to sound like that, but different. You know, they were just different. Used to, you know, pushing the paper from behind a desk and not getting out, you know, and mixing with the people. And that was my strength. And I was tucked in a corner where nobody saw me. And not allowed to shine where I shine, you know. So I was being eclipsed by things that just weren't even in my top 10 skills. They were lingering down there somewhere, you know, from 25 to 34 or however many she said. And it didn't work for me. It made me physically sick, unhappy, and undermined anything positive I had going and brought me to my knees and out of my lifelong career. My brain injury caught up with me and everything caught up with me at that time. And that was the conduit by forcing me out of my skill set. And so, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I had some trying years between 2006 and when I wrote my book, you know, in the end of 2011, those were some really difficult years where I wasn't finding how to be comfortable in my skin again and how to apply my skill set. The experience was so bad, I knew I couldn't go back again to where I had been, either at their place or the one before. That was out. And because of what happened at the bank, I was freaked out and scared to death to go try anything remotely, you know, like that.
I can sense what you're talking about, yes.
So I withdrew. I withdrew and I became depressed, you know, and then the book came along and that changed everything, brought me down this path, and now I'm back into my skill set. And
look where you are now. That's the amazing part. Look what this network has done for you and so many different people has done for me. I mean, I used to feel like, wow, what's the purpose of my life anymore? I feel like I'm just wasting away. And this really gives me a feel of a purpose. And I know it does you too. And we're on a bold new mission.
Yep.
I just think it's beautiful.
Well, I do too. And I don't mean to interrupt you. All I was going to say is that though, you know, you and I can sit here and say it, and I hope the audience is listening because there's nothing real special or unique. Well, innately there is. But I mean, Les Paul and I are no different than you people listening out there, we had our doubts. We had our fears.
Oh, yes.
We were told by medical professionals that we were going no place, that we weren't going to be able to do things. We were shunned.
Everything didn't even count.
We've experienced everything that we've heard our audience talk about, both people that have participated by calling into our shows, that have written to us on the support Facebook pages. We have walked in those shoes, and we're not unique from the standpoint that we took a leap and put our fear aside, and we still get it when the switchboard doesn't work right, you know, and our chat room disappears.
That was me last night.
I know. And it's been all of us, you know, it's been all of us from time to time. But if you try, you know, if you set your mind to action and you try, it's you'll be surprised, because if we can do it, you can do it. And
that's,
I think,
right.
Les Paul would agree.
I absolutely would. I'll just say it. Last night I had a major failure. It said critical failure. Right when I 2 minutes till time for the show to start, I clicked all the buttons that you're supposed to click to get out of the Facebook and the chat room going and everything, and all of a sudden it starts to open and it just crashes. And I'm going, oh, my God, what do I do right now?
Oh, my God.
I waited a minute, and I reset it, and I started over again, and it did the same thing. And that's why I was flying blind last night. But we all managed to hold it together, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you had a great show last night, and I never would have known that that happened. And one thing I'll say about that is that we've gotten better. You know, even when there's meltdowns, we've gotten a lot better at handling them where it's not as obvious as when we first started these shows. You know, we'd really freak out, you know.
I broke out into a sweat the first time that happened and said, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have a heart attack. Help.
Yeah. And if we would have quit the first time that happened, you know, look at the great shows and guests. The knowledge that never would have got put out.
You know, we could have been people that walked away from it. And that's the only difference I can say about us, is we've decided we don't know when to stop on something we really love, because we don't know how to stop something you love. And
well, there's a reason. You know, there's some reason. Again, I go back to that divine intervention. There's some reason why we're supposed to be here.
Absolutely.
And we wouldn't feel as good and as convicted about it if that weren't the case. At least that's my belief. We'd be, kumsa, I could take it or leave it. You know, we wouldn't take it as seriously or as passionately as we do if that seed hadn't been planted in us at a time, at least for me. You had a little heads up in working for Walton Options and getting some of that affirmation that I didn't earlier on, you know, to me. I don't know if he's listening or will ever hear this show or know that I said it, but, you know, Craig took a chance on me. I didn't know a lot compared to a lot of you. I was a novice as far as behind, you know, some of the technical knowledge and things like that, but he believed in me, and that meant a lot. I needed that, and he gave that to me. And so, you know, a lot of this, a lot of this is like just gratitude. When you think about it, all of us have had so many rejections and people who have doubted us or challenged us or questioned us. And here is a guy that came in and didn't really know me from a bottle of Vicks, heard a couple of shows that I did, and decided that I could be a radio host and believed in me enough to give me a chance. And that's huge. You know, that is
a
gift.
It really is.
And so, you know, I like to try extra hard and you know, live up to that opportunity. But if nothing else, no matter what happens in the long pull, I'll always have gratitude that he showed that faith in me and gave me the opportunity at a time I didn't know where to turn.
And you've done marvelous at it. And I think about Jennifer, too. I saw that she'd added another support page, and she's always working to help us to promote the show and everything. And she's just going, I mean, she's basically going all around the world from within her home and trying to promote Brain Injury Radio. And we love you for that, Jenny. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for what all of you hosts do and what everyone does to keep this going. Craig, he unleashed something that I'm not sure if we knew what it was. We were looking for something. Don't you feel that way? You didn't know exactly what, but you were searching for something, and out of the blue, here comes Craig Cecilia.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea. I bumbled in one night. Just out of the blue, and it was it's just, to me, it's just miraculous how things have evolved, because again, it wasn't in my plan. I didn't even know about it. Wasn't in my agenda. I didn't have the background that some of you had, but it was like I said earlier, we all have a different skill set, you know. I might not
where it works. That's why it does work.
Yeah, I think that everybody has a different need. We all have different needs. While we've got a lot of similarities, we have different needs at different times. Even me, you know, some nights I just need to kick back and breathe, maybe listen to a little music and just know I'm in a safe place and participate in the chat with people I know that get me. And other nights, you know, like when we worked last night, you know, with you and me and Andrea at the end about, you know, and when we did it for Matt, you know, all of a sudden we shift into work gear and we're all working together, you know, Googling sites. And I did talk to one of those independent living guys today. He was a really great guy, one of them that you emailed me the other day. And turns out we do have one in Omaha, but it's not listed. And so I talked to the guy who's an hour away in Lincoln in our capital city. He was great. Sometime he may be a guest. I told him I was calling him for business and personal, talked to him about those personal things. He was really helpful, and he told me that he was the director down there in Lincoln, and he told me who the director was in Omaha, told me to call the director in Omaha, which I will in the morning, and to say that he said for me to call. So that I'd get into this guy and said that this guy would help me. So whether it's going from technical resources to just sitting back and relaxing with in a comfortable, safe place, the same person can have a different need on a different day, you know, or just different people have different needs on different days. And that's what I think is really cool about the diversity of our shows 7 nights a week, is you're not turning on and hearing the same thing 7 nights in a row, because everybody is, all the hosts are unique and bring different things to the table. And we surprise you from time to time by, you know, stepping out and doing something a little different, you know, than what we would normally do. And off the wall, and keeps you guessing. And so I don't know. I think it's a really cool thing that we're building. And you're right. That's why I mentioned Jenny during the show, too. It's been invaluable for so many people. You know, there's a lot of people that are afraid to call in on the radio, and I've seen them, you know, respond and make comments on Jenny's support pages. And, you know, people are a little more invisible. Maybe they don't want to come to the radio, or they don't know how to come to the radio, whatever their reason, or they're afraid to call in on the radio, but yet they'll sit there and they'll like and they'll read and they'll comment on the things that Jenny posts and all of her valuable pages, and she gets some great research information and just fun, entertaining information as well. She's got a lot of diversity within the pages that she has on Facebook, and as well as, you know, being one of our big supporters who helps promote the shows. And I can't tell you how many times she's typed things into the chat for me, you know, and will let the audience know. I alluded to it earlier, what a host has to do all at the same time, and it would be hard for anyone, but for a person with a brain injury, trying to watch a chat, interview a guest, watch the switchboard, do the
hard,
research to get your guests. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot harder. You might think it's a couple hours on the radio once a week, but it's a lot more than that. And, you know, when we've got somebody, you know, like Jenny, who's helping promote the show and typing things into the chat, the websites and the phone numbers, and reminding us to plug the sponsor, I mean, that's just invaluable. And
true.
And I know we all really, really appreciate that. So thanks again, Jenny, and we love having the new family. It's cool.
Yeah,
you know,
I hope she really does realize that we mean it from the bottom depths of our heart, that she is helping tremendously. You're an awesome asset. Wonderful lady.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something I forgot last week, and I'll tie this, I'll make a good segue into what we just said. As I'm typing, because I'm surprising you, Jenny, so while you're blushing, I'm going to type this in and then tell people dot B-A-N-D-C-A-M-P. Pardon me, audience. Okay, last week, a lot of you know who listen to the show that I look for independent artists. You know, Les Paul and I both like music, and we believe that music is a form of therapy. And so sometimes I play songs by people, you know, but then I kind of got on a little jag where I decided to find some independent artists, maybe some people like us that, you know, didn't have some advantages and a leg up from the beginning, and some people who might be interested in sharing their music with us and aligning themselves a little with Brain Injury Radio, doing a nice thing for us, and we're doing a nice thing for them. And last week I played you one of our new artists, and I didn't have the website with me. I wasn't prepared where you could actually... This guy is really cool. When my audiobook came out a few weeks ago, and I won't tell the whole story again, but when my audiobook came out, I was just calling a service call to see when it was coming, because I had submitted all the things needed a few weeks before. They had sent me a form email letter that said all the stuff was great, your book will be released soon. Well, soon bothered me. That wasn't exact enough. I was wanting to know when, you know, give me a date. And so I called
now,
him.
Now.
Yeah, is it now? Is it the 4th? You know, is it, you know, when is it? Is it, is soon a month from now, a week from now, a day from now? Give me a clue. So, you know, patience isn't one of my strong suits a lot of times. So I called into the company, and I got a guy who worked in service. And we wound up talking while he was sending an email to the back room to see if he could get me a better answer. And when we started talking, this fella turned out that he has a band, and they have cut a CD and are continuing to work as musicians.
Okay.
But just like authors, musicians, unless you're in the top 0.5% who know someone, don't make a lot of money. And so this fella has a day job working at this audiobook distributor. And so I visited with him, and I said, well, would you be interested in maybe letting me hear some of your music and play it? And I told him what we did and what we did here at Brain Injury Radio. And he said he would love to help us. and I played you a song of his last week. Now, they do sell their music on Amazon and iTunes and all of your usual haunts, but there's a secret website where you can download the whole album for free. And last week, I didn't have it. This week, I do.
All right.
For those of you in the chat room, I'm going to post right now, and then I will tell you in the audience, francisjones.bandcamp.com. Yes, there's always a www in front of these websites. So www.francisjones.bandcamp.com. So it's francisjones.bandcamp.com. And because we were talking about Jenny a moment ago and what a help she is, I am going to segue into this song, and I'm going to dedicate it to Jenny.
All right.
The name of this band is Francis Jones and the Saviors, and the name of this song is Beautiful. We'll be back in 3 minutes and 38 seconds.
You can come to me, I will understand. Sometimes things that shouldn't be are your only plans. And if you get scared, I will protect you, but don't expect an easy life. Nobody has ever got that right. And you can go away from me, I will understand. Sometimes the love that you believe is not the love that's in your hand. And if you get scared, I will protect you, but don't expect an easy life. Nobody has ever got that right. But it will be beautiful. And you can give your love to me,
Again, that's the song Beautiful by Frances Jones and the Saviors. And I hope you guys will do me a favor. Some of these, like Garfan and Frances Jones, people that sell their music on iTunes and Amazon, I'm aware of this from being an author. You know, the prices that we have to sell these people's songs when you buy them cost like $1.25. And when they're giving them away to us and allowing us to play, obviously they're getting some advertising, but there's so many people, you have no idea how many artists I've called who haven't even called me back. And so the ones that called me back and are enthusiastic about helping us, and they're not coming at me about, you know, oh boy, free advertising or anything like that. They're coming by what a valuable thing we're doing, and they're wanting to help. So when I give you these websites, I'll hope that sometime some of you listeners out there will drop them a note thanking them. Just say, I heard your song on Kim's Brain Injury Radio and want to thank you so much. And I'll make a note of that on a couple of the pages tomorrow, and maybe someday I'll actually put down the websites for these guys, and any of you that are interested in thanking them, you know, we do make noise when people diss us, but we also need to give equal balance, you know, to the people who are with us. And so, you know, a simple thank you, loved your song, you know, would mean a lot to these guys. And so I will do that. But again, on Frances Jones, I did give you a website for him. And so, you know, maybe let him know I'll be playing more cuts of his in the future. And, you know, maybe just drop them a line. Again, the site I gave you tonight is for a free download of their entire album that they sell in other places.
That's
so
awesome.
Especially when they're giving us a secret website for our show to download their music for free, it would be nice of us to thank them. You know, drop them a note. Say, I love the song. Tell them where you heard it, so they know it was good, you know, that they helped Brain Injury Radio and that you heard it on Kim's show, Brain Injury Radio, and you love their song, and thanks so much for helping us out, and keep up the good work, because they actively are continuing to make music. Some of my artists, you know, just did a CD or two, and they're not continuing, you know, to cut CDs at this time and don't have websites. Those people, I'll just have to tell them you said thanks, or maybe have you drop me an email sometime and I'll forward the emails to them, to those fellas. But other ones like him, you know, maybe dropping him a note on their website. And it looks like we got 15 more minutes. I think one other song that is good, and we haven't heard from them for a little while, and it's something that I want you to all remember, and that's in the vein of the show we talked about tonight, is you guys all remember one of our favorites from the earliest contributors, the HTB Hard Times Band.
Yes.
And let's hear 3 minutes and 27 seconds of You're Never Alone.
know this isn't easy for you. Please don't cry, and I hope you understand. This is something I just have to do. But you're never alone. I close my eyes, and you're right where you belong. You're never alone, even when I'm called away from home. I'll keep you with me even when I'm gone. So you're never
again, that's our favorite contractor, once he left my bathroom.
that's so funny.
Brooke and Travis with Hard Times Band, Never Alone, and Once You Found Brain Injury Radio, the peer group support line, or hopefully if you happen to have a tangible physical support group in your area, you'll know that you'll never be alone again. So I think that's a really cool thing. let's see. We got my 1 o'clock says 10 minutes. It means I probably got 7 minutes. Do you have any further comment, Les Paul?
I just posted a comment to you. I don't know if you saw it. Right after the song ended.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's cool.
You know,
he says he thought I could be a DJ too.
If I was saying it because, you know, a DJ broadcasts all over the place, and Brain Injury Radio broadcasts in 33 countries right now, and it's going to go to 36 or 37 if from a memo I got recently, and I don't remember all the information. I would tell you if I could, but You were DJing just then on all over the world, if you think about it. So if you ever wanted to be a DJ and just play the fine tunes that you love to play to people, you just did. So that might have been a dream you had a long time ago or maybe never thought of, and it turned into one.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. No, I like my mission statement right now. I just like to mix it up a little, and I'm glad that you're understanding about that and, you know, get why I do it. I kind of like to, you know, that first hour we do a more intense, serious show, and we carry it over if we need to on my show, and then we discuss things if there's people that want to discuss, and otherwise I just kind of like to kick back, let us unwind for the show. It gets late for all of us, and maybe just hear a few nice upbeat tunes before we get a good night's sleep and do it all again tomorrow.
And I know when survivors are tuning in, sometimes they hear the music and they say, well, what's different about this too? I mean, music will pull people in.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, well, if you don't mind, I'm going to mute you. And again, I want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson at tbilaw.com. I want to thank Craig Cecilia for starting this show and allowing us to carry it on into 7 nights a week. Remember to check out, again, I'll give you other websites in the future, but for now, www.tbiwa.org. That will give you information both on Brain Injury Radio and the peer group support line that has just been launching. I think tonight I'm going to close. I like to tease you guys with this one a little bit, but this is the last band was one you'd have to send me an email on. HTB band isn't actually working. Again, I'll post these at some time, and for those of you that wish to thank them, you can do it. This one is a guy who has 3 CDs out. I keep playing it, and those of you that remember can whistle along, but if you want to find him on Facebook, Nick Johnson, and the thing that makes his name a little different, N-I-C, and then J-O-H-N-S-O-N. So there's no K on the end, just Nick Johnson, N-I-C, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. He's on Facebook. You could thank him there. Also, he has an album called Mental Photographs from Space, currently available iTunes, Amazon, and a lot of the other great websites. But you can reach Nick on Facebook. If you can't find him, I've got an email address. You can write to me through inaflash.org. Contact the author. I'll give it to you, and you can thank Nick. But a song I will play to end the show, 2 minutes and 19 seconds, and only because I'm from this neck of the woods and I find it amusing, I'll play more of his songs in the future with some stories behind the songs that he sent me. But this is Nick Johnson with Billy the Kid, and if I need to, and the show's going to end again, thank you all so much for being here tonight. And I really appreciate it. We all really appreciate your support. God bless you, and enjoy the closeout with Billy the Kid by Nick Johnson.
Convincing, still I turn my head to the brighter side of the dull red in your eyes. You and me ain't that different. I'm just half time in the restaurant, and I feel like Billy the Kid. I don't wanna fall down like he did. My mistakes, they must be perfect. I can't seem to find all these tears that hide in my mind.
Again, that was Nick Johnson with Billy the Kid. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight.